was to divide America. Right now, we're fighting over monuments, race, income, politics. A lot of that stuff is, I mean, who cares? Why fight over all that stuff? By the way, when the Jews fell in 70 AD, and obviously they weren't blessed by God, and that's quite clear, they made all the mistakes they blamed Christ of. One of the things that hurt them, they were divided. In the day, they fought the Romans on the wall, and at night, they fought among themselves. That's how divided they were. Can you see America becoming more and more and more and more divided? Now we're fighting over Civil War monuments, but it doesn't matter the issues, things that don't have to divide us. But you can see the media poisoning the air with division and fight. I mean, I can see it as clear as a bell. The media is poisoning the air. I want you all to fight over something that you really don't need to fight over. Who cares? I mean, you know what I mean about monuments and that kind of thing. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. In 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul is giving a warning about the end time. We're going to pick it up in verse 2 to 3. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2 and 3. And Paul writes, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." A thief comes by surprise. You don't see it far in advance. "For when they shall say, 'Peace and safety,' then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape." I can see with modern warfare, oh, the great empire in Europe and one of the Middle East, we've worked out some compromises and some deals. The world's going to have peace and prosperity. Of course, they're saying that, but they got secret plans. And then suddenly, they unleash the missiles and the jet bombers and sudden destruction. So you can't count on watching it come slowly and say, "Well, now I'll get ready once I see them take the temple." I think it'll be too late at that point. Verse 4, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness that you should that day should overtake you as a thief." It should not catch the church of God by surprise. Verse 5, "You are children of the light, children of the day. You're not of the night nor of darkness." Verse 6, "Therefore, let us not sleep," mean not watching things spiritually, both ourselves, the church, and the world, "as do others, but let us watch and be sober." And by the way, that's one reason why the magazine is called Watch, 21st Century Watch. And there's some great articles in there. So what do we have to do? We have to see the light. We have to join the people that are watching. We have to help, you know, our part in doing the work. And I'm just going to mention these scriptures. The true gospel is not seen by people. 2 Corinthians 3:15 and 16 is like a veil, Paul said, was over the religious people when they read the Bible. They read it, but they didn't fully understand it. And that's true today. And then the next chapter, chapter 4, he goes on to elucidate how the world is in blindness. So even a lot of religious people don't fully see what they need to see. I want to tell this corny joke because I like to do that. This guy took the whole family out to the lake, and most of them wanted to go swimming, but he couldn't swim, so he didn't get in the water. He didn't swim. And then he looks out there, and he sees, oh, about 80 yards out, his wife is drowning. And she just looks like she's going down for the third time. He sees a fisherman over here, and he yells. He says, "I can't swim. I'll pay you $200 if you can rescue her." And the fisherman says, "Fine." He puts down his pole. He dives in the water. 10 powerful strokes. And he grabs her and pulls her out of the water. And as she's laying there, he says to the guy, "Okay, pay my $200. He says, "I didn't see things clearly. That wasn't my wife. That was my mother-in-law." And the fisherman says, "That's just my luck. How much do I owe you?" I see some of the mother-in-laws aren't smiling out there. Oh, well. And mother-in-laws do get a bad rap, let's face it. But bad spiritual eyesight is what the world has. Deception is raging in America. The media is doing a lot of it. I heard things like even the terrorist attack, they're blaming on the president. And I'm thinking, how do they make that connection? They find a way to... I'm thinking, boy, these people are really out of it. We have to take all the things we see seriously. The end is coming. And either when the end gets here or when we pass away. A lot of you think, well, you know, when I'm about to pass away, I'll have a deathbed repentance. I don't know. I wouldn't count on that. I just wouldn't count on it. You never know when your end is coming. I've heard of all kinds of stories, not a lot, but a fair number of people that, including one of my bosses at work, we were going to retire together. About 2 months ago, he was sitting in his easy chair, and he had a sudden heart attack and was gone, just like that. They didn't find him until the next morning. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. All I'm saying is you never know. You might think you do, but you never know. Either your end or the end of the age could come suddenly. Now, anybody who dies in Christ is very lucky. You're very lucky if you die in Christ, because you will be in God's family, and that is a wonderful thing. By the way, speaking of people who have health problems, when you get home, pray for Barbara Douglas. She would have been here, but she had some kind of breathing problem, and she's in the hospital. We don't know details yet, but you know, anything like that is serious. Remember Carolyn Birch is fighting cancer. She would be here also. We talked to her last night on the phone, except you know, she's going through chemo, and it really taxes your body. So pray for Barbara Douglas and Carolyn Birch. Okay, for my last scripture, I want to go to Revelation 3, a scripture that we often go to. It's a shocking scripture, but I want to finish off with this scripture. And after I finish, then Mr. Terry Gooch, the pastor here in Springfield, the buckle of the Bible belt, will come up and speak. Okay, Revelation 3, verse 9. Verse 9, Revelation 3. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, that is, true worshipers of the true God, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I'll make them to come and worship before your feet, to know that I've loved you. Now, when you read that, you go, wait a minute. You know from the Bible that when angels are worshipped, they pull people up and say, no, you can't worship me. I'm just an angel. But when we get in God's family, we'll be baby gods and people can worship at our feet. When I read it, I almost feel guilty for saying it. But isn't that what it says? God loved us and he put us in his family. We'll be baby gods. In other words, the rewards that we're going to inherit are so much greater than the suffering. And Paul said that in Romans 8 too. The glories that will be revealed in us are so much greater than what we suffer now that it's not even a comparison. So I know you're thinking, but I'll have to give up this, and some of my friends will be on my case, and I'll have relatives. I understand. I really do. Most of us have been around understanding that you will pay some price for following God in Satan's age. But the reward is great. It is worth it. Hang in there. Hang in there. Don't let the devil deceive you, get you distracted or discouraged or cynical. Revelation 3, verse 10. Because you kept the word of my patience. In other words, you believe the Bible. And that includes the moral laws, the Ten Commandments. And I will also keep you from the hour of trial, temptation that shall come upon all the world. In other words, we're going to be in places of safety. And by the way, the world is going to be hit with plagues. We don't know what all those plagues are, but as I look at drones and I read what John said, I can imagine drones delivering chemical weapons that really do terrible things to people. But whatever the plagues are, they're coming. The Bible is going to be true. They're coming. If you want to be in places of safety, be with God's church. That's the only safety. And if you are chosen to be a heroic martyr, if you're good enough, that's to your credit. And just in closing, I just want to say, before Mr. Gooch gets up, Stay with Christ. Fight deception and complacency and worldliness. Join us in doing the work and obeying God. And one day, if you don't do that, one day it may be too late.
Well, good afternoon to you all. Appreciate you all coming out today. We didn't know how many people to expect. We have a unique area here in this part of Missouri. It's, believe it or not, within 100 miles of Springfield is the biggest mailing list that we have in the church. I think Michael said that, or Melody said they sent out over 1,000 announcements. So there's a lot of people within a 100-mile radius of Springfield that want to know the truth. And it's interesting. I was getting a little worried there. Dr. Ricks was using almost the same identical scriptures that I'm going to use. So there must be a lesson in that, I suppose. But I wanted to tell you that we do meet every Sabbath just down the road here. It's near the junction of South Campbell Avenue and James River Freeway. In fact, if you know where Sam's Club is, they're off of South Campbell. When you're coming out from there back on the Campbell, if you just go straight across the road, it'll take you up the hill there right to the parking lot of the Sleep Inn. We meet there in their conference room every Saturday at 1 p.m., and you're always welcome. We have room for probably 40 or 50 people in there, and right now we've got some empty seats, so you're welcome at any time. It brings up the question, though, why do we need to be together like that? What's the purpose of it? You know, I hear people say all the time, "Well, I don't need to come to church because, I mean, I've got DVDs. I can stay at home and I can watch sermons at home," and that's true. You can. But there's just something different about being there with God's people. You know, Jesus said, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there." And you really do get extra inspiration when you are at a local service. I'm going to go through some of these scriptures. I've just got four or five scriptures here, that, and some of them you've already heard today. So anyway, this kind of answers the question as to why do we need to gather together. Well, first of all, Paul tells us in Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 23, he says, and this is the New International Version, and I'm using it because it's a little bit clearer. It says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And I think what year was it that your dad first came here, Mark? Was that 57 or somewhere along in there? It's in the 50s, isn't it? 58, yeah, okay. So this area has been exposed to the truth for a very long time. And we know that, as Dr. Ricks was saying, that the time is growing short. So we need all the help that we can get because we know that it's going to be tough to remain faithful right up to the end. So anyway, if you're there at church, we have that ability because we fellowship together, we encourage each other. And I know some of you have your small groups you go to, and that's fine. I don't have any problem at all with that. But if you don't, and I know a lot of you live a long ways away. I talked to a gentleman earlier that lives down near Bakersfield, 2.5-hour drive. And I understand you can't do that every week, but maybe you can do it once a month. Somebody's phone. Okay. but if you can make it occasionally, it really does give you a spiritual lift. And we'd really like to encourage you to attend. You're welcome anytime. Matthew 24, beginning in, it's actually in verse 21. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." So it's going to be a very tough, tough time. In Luke 21, verse 36, it says, "Watch you, therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." So, as Dr. Ricks was pointing out, we do have that promise of a way of escape from that terrible time that is ahead of us. And, of course, that is in Revelation 3 and verse 10. And I'm going to read that once again. So, "Because you have kept the word of my patience." And in some translations, the way that's worded, it says, "Because you have patiently endured." And that's what we have to do. You know, the Christian life is not an easy life. The trials are just a part of it. And we need that encouragement. We need that fellowship. We need to be able to get together with each other. And just sometimes someone just listening to you, talking about your problems, just the things that you're trying to overcome, helps a lot. You know, doctors know that the placebo effect is a big thing in medicine. In fact, I think for some of those drugs, the placebo effect is bigger than what the drug itself actually does. But just going to a doctor and having him examine you and it kind of gives you a little bit of encouragement. Oftentimes you come out feeling a whole lot better. And that's what we need. We need encouragement. We need people who think exactly like we do, who understand the truth. I mean, after all, brethren, stop and think about it. You know, we all have families. We all have children. We have brothers and sisters often. But this is our real family right here. This is going to be our eternal family. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ because we all believe the same way, and we all have this wonderful future for us. And finishing Revelation 3 and verse 10, he says, "I also will keep you from the hour of temptation," which really it just means trial, "which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell on the earth." And, you know, anytime I think about trials and that sort of thing, I think about, okay, what's the purpose? Where are we going with all of this? And there's so many wonderful scriptures that encourage us and inspire us and help us. One of my favorites is Matthew 25 and verse 21. And it says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because you have been faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter you into the joy of the Lord." So we have that wonderful promise. The way of life that we as Christians lead is not always easy, but it is very rewarding. It's wonderful to have you all as brothers and sisters in Christ. I look forward to that time, and hopefully it's maybe it's not all that far away. So now for our next speaker today, and I know that this is a gentleman that you all came to see, Mark Armstrong.